And now, courtesy of the 11L Network, it's LF Midwood.
LF Midwood.
And the Midwood Files. With the LF Midwood Experience. Here on Radio New York International.
To the what is it, September 6, 2020 edition of the Midwood Files. My name is my name is LF Midwood. I just started drinking coffee again. I haven't been drinking a lot of coffee, I gotta say, honestly, around the house, you know. But whenever I go out now, I make my aunt buy me coffee, and I've developed this affliction, whereas I really like lattes over at Starbucks. I know I'm bad. It's horrible. But yeah, I do. I don't know what it is. It's like as near as I can figure, it's espresso with like milk worked into it. And I don't even care about the frothy stuff, you know. I think I mentioned last week, right, when the coffee machine, the old coffee machine is still, oh, yeah, that's right. You know what? Not that nobody heard last week's show. Okay. Well, just the regular hardcore listeners who listen live. Most of you listen in, what happened here? I think I broke it. Most of you listen in podcast form, which is really what this show is designed for more than anything else. But those of you who are listening, those of you who are listening live, I contemplated just doing the show over again. But, you know, there's other stuff that I want to add. And, you know, it's like very much like The Grateful Dead. It never winds up the same way twice. So let's stick with that. What happened is I did the show live last week, as I normally do. This is actually being recorded live and streamed over at johnlightning.com and lfmidwood.com midnight on Saturdays. And, what happened was, I came out, I did an hour, and I felt pretty good about it, actually. And somewhere in the editing process, the show was lost, meaning it was literally deleted. It was it disappeared. It went poof, bye, see you later. So nobody heard me last week, I guess, or at least a few of you heard me, but not the the full audience. I believe we put up a blurb saying that there was a technical difficulty, which indeed there was. I think I just explained it. So like anything I referenced last week, I have to say to myself, they're not going to know what I'm talking about. Well, not that you know what I'm talking about most of the time anyway, but I need to keep that in mind. So the coffee machine in the house was dying, and we ordered the Ninja Foodie line of appliances that the producers become enamored with. We ordered one of their coffee machines. We ordered the basic one rather than they had like a super duper model that did, it had a frother and whatnot. And it's like, you know what? I always thought that stuff was a little bit pretentious. But since then, the old coffee machine is still working. So we haven't even opened up the new coffee machine yet. So we have one on deck. It's in a holding pattern. We're hoping it doesn't run out of gas and fall out of the sky, but it's in a holding pattern. And I've been not drinking a lot of coffee in the house, but when I go out, I like to have a cup of coffee, especially if I'm out. So like I said, I really like the lattes. Latte. I don't know if I'm saying it. Latte. My understanding that the word latte it actually means like coffee for babies. I mean, I think that's what this is. What they you want, if you go to Italy and you ask them for one of those things, they say that's what we give our infants for coffee there, buddy. So you might want to man up, get a real cup of coffee. I gave up espressos a long time ago. Occasionally, I'll have an espresso if I'm in a restaurant. The last time I had an espresso in a restaurant, this is pretty funny. It was an upscale pizzeria, but it was primarily pizzeria, and I think they made meatballs too. But ironically enough, just meatballs. And we were in there. My aunt wanted to try it out. It was the White Wonder Parkland shooting. It was the same day as the Parkland shooting, because I remember seeing it on the TV in the pizzeria there. So we're sitting there in the pizzeria, and we order pizza. We order a regular margarita, you know, which is just a regular pizza. It was good. It was all right, you know. And we ordered some meatballs, and they were pretty good too. Although mine are better, but they were pretty good. And at the end of the meal, it's like, oh, you want a dessert? And it's like, you know what? I don't know if I want dessert, but I could go for an espresso. So I asked the waitress, can I have an espresso? So she brought me the espresso. It looked nice little white saucer. And I like those. I'm very minimalistic. I'm more in the function over form, if you know what I'm saying, most of the time. Although looks do matter to a degree. But it was a nice white saucer with a nice, like, little cup. Nothing funky going on as far as adornments on the cup. I hate stuff like that. My aunt's got this, like, red set that's good. It's red, and it's got, like, a gold star on it. And I'm like, what? What am I, Chinese? Stop it. So she brings the espresso to the table. And I noticed that there's no lemon rind. As she walks by... I ask, could I have some lemon for the espresso? So, like, 2-3 minutes goes by, and she brings back literally a plate of a quartered lemon, the whole lemon, not the rind, but the whole lemon. So I was like, okay. okie dokie, thanks very much, and drink my espresso very quietly. But yeah, I have come to like the little bit of the lemon rind around the rim. It does change the flavor of the espresso. You know, it's an interesting thing about espresso. I used to drink them a lot when I was younger, especially during my European excursions. I would arguably say I haven't had a decent cup of coffee since I left Europe, but the interesting thing about it, play that backwards. It's a secret bonus round. Secret bonus round this week. The interesting thing about espresso is they actually have less. Everybody thinks they have more caffeine because theoretically the coffee tastes stronger, which obviously it does. But when you make those things properly and they're under the right amount of PSI, the extraction process is very quick, very quick, very quick. And you don't get as much caffeine out of it as if you were, say, drip coffee, which has plenty of time to slowly filter through the coffee. Now, that's what I've been told. And I am inclined to believe that because I'm a little bit of a science guy, just a little bit. And when I say I'm a science guy, you know, you understand when you're a right winger and you say you're a science guy, people there go, I have this tendency to look at the science every once in a while, so that's my story about espresso, and I think lattes are espresso with frothed milk throughout. I think the whole thing, and it, yeah, you know, I mean, I only put a couple of sugars in them, and I really like it. And I feel bad because I know Starbucks is going to be the end of Western civilization as we know it. All the work that those white guys put in are going to be wiped out by Starbucks of all places. But I do, and it's not many things I like on their menu. I got to be honest. Like, I honestly, 9 times out of 10, if I found myself trapped there, which I do from time to time because my aunt just wants to go to Starbucks, especially when you could go and sit down and read the paper and such, in the comfy little couches, I'd get an Americano. I'd get a regular, I'd look at them dead in the eye and I'd say, just give me a cup of American coffee, just like that. So I wasn't into the fancy foo-foo stuff by any stretch. You know, cappuccinos are every once in a while. Yeah, like I said, espresso, obviously. But nope. I actually like the lattes. Oh, and I like those frappuccinos. I just found out something about the frappuccinos, which may be interesting to some of you. I don't know what your socioeconomic is for coffee. You know, it's hard to tell with the demographics of my audience, you know. But I know for a while, you know what the frappuccinos are? They're those coffee shake drink thingies, really. And the ice ones, right? You know, they've been selling those, the little ones, right? And now I think they make bigger size ones. They've been selling those for a long time now. I mean, for a really long, maybe 20 years, something close to that, getting close to it. And they sell it. And I always liked them, but they always didn't seem quite exactly like the thing, you know? I've come to find out that if you take them home and you pour it into a blender and you put a little bit of ice and you it's just like it is when you buy it in the store, meaning when in the coffee store, in Starbucks. I don't know. I'm so off course with this now. I don't even know if I want to. But yeah, they are. They're almost identical. So there's a little helpful Ella Midwood Files tip for you. Midwood Files tip for you. I guess you have to have a blender, you know. And it's speaking of blender and ice, right? So the producer, she made like a smoothie the other day. And she puts the ice in this thing and she hits the button and it's like I'm telling you, that thing, as far as I gotta say, it's amazing. With the ice. Yes, I mean, if they had a couple of these things on the Titanic, it would have had no problem with that iceberg. You understand what I'm saying? It's like really heavy duty, put your helmet on, and done. You could probably put a person in there. Not that you would want to, of course, but you could probably blenderize a person and pour them down the drain. Probably could. You know, I got a couple of candidates, but we'll leave it at that. So anyway, I'm drinking regular coffee tonight. I guess that's the sad part of the story. Yeah, I got stung all that stuff, and now I'm still drinking regular coffee. Yeah. I still want to come up with something I can just hit momentarily while I'm drinking coffee. It could be my coffee button, and it's some sort of noise or something. Because I'm getting tired of humming. I'm getting tired of it. It's like the extra energy I have to expend. Making a noise so you know that I'm drinking coffee, so there isn't like dead air. Silence. Well, again, I just want to say welcome to the Midwood Files, the longest hour on internet radio. That's going to start billing myself as the longest hour you'll hear all week. Oh, man. Anyway, there's what I talked about mostly last week, just to kind of ease in. And yeah, you'll note there was no music again this week. You can tell if I'm using that opening, there's no music. Which is, I mean, I guess with an hour, I don't know. Could I do an hour and like do 15 minutes of music and yap, you know, gab for 40 minutes, 45? Can I get away with that? Would there not be rocks thrown at me if I attempted to do this? I don't know. You know, I kind of like the hour format because I come out and I can do an hour. And I was just telling the producer, we got to get some cough drops or something because, when I walk out of here, my throat hurts. I mean, you can tell I start to get a little towards the end. You'll hear me mention it, but you can actually hear a difference in my voice. Again, because the energy that I'm expending, it hurts. It hurts. And then I got a sore throat for like midway through the week, and then I don't feel my throat hurts. I am glad and happy to report that I am feeling pretty okay. It's just, I don't know if you missed the health update last week, but the gist of it was that I'm feeling pretty okay. I got nothing. I even went out. I had to go out yesterday. What, Saturday? No, yeah, Saturday. Well, Saturday. Yesterday to me would be Friday, because this is the Labor Day weekend. It's Labor Day weekend, so supposed to be having a cookout over there at my great uncle George's house again. Just a few of us and. I needed to go get some stuff. I needed to put down some cabbage and walk away with some meat, which is what I did. I think it's going to be the same small group of people, which is nice. I'm not interested in anything bigger than a small group of people due to the virus and whatever else may be going on. I know Rhode Island had spiked up virus-wise. I don't know if any of you follow... the virus statistics, but apparently Rhode Island's been on an uptick. I have noticed that. Providence County, too, which kind of sucks. Because basically places might, close down again, and then that would suck. Because I actually have gone out to sit down and eat in a restaurant a few times. I went out yesterday, and we got some stuff. And I decided, I don't cook very much anymore. I think most of you are aware of that. who are regular listeners to the show. If you're not a regular listener to the program, I'm sorry. Anyway, so you know I can cook. I know my way around the kitchen. And what I decided to do was my aunt wanted chorizo and peppers, which is basically a Portuguese dish. It's not chorizo. The Portuguese call it chorizo. It's the same sausage, basically. You throw it in a crock pot with some wine and some tomato paste and some cut up green peppers and some cut up sausages, you know, chorizo. It always sounds like a black girl's name to me. I say it every time I do it. It's Charisse, come here, Charisse. Stop using that jump rope. All right. Anyway, so that's going to be my dish because my aunt wanted it, and that's like a perennial Rhode Island cookout dish because of all the Portuguese we have here. We have a lot of Portuguese. We're gonna do burgers because, well, you know, you got to do burgers, and I decided. And this was a major decision on my part, and I don't quite regret it yet, although it did take a little time to prep. I'm going to smoke some ribs. I got two racks of spare ribs. I don't do baby backs. It's just not worth the effort. I mean, not they're hardly worth the effort when someone else makes them to get that meat off the bone because it's like so little meat. I like spare ribs, you know, which are the larger section of the pork rib. I got them prepped in the refrigerator. I put a little mustard on them. You put a little yellow mustard on there, and then you put a nice little rub, which is proprietary. I refuse to disclose the ingredients. And wrap them up, leave them in the fridge overnight, and I'm going to start smoking them tomorrow. And indirect smoking. See, I have one of those barrel-type grills, you know, the big barrel suckers. So, you know, it's three large pieces of cast iron that go across horizontally. Usually what I do is that I wrap up a brick or two in aluminum foil, and I close off one of the, like, halfway through the middle section. So on one side, I have charcoal burning, you know, a small amount of charcoal burning regularly, meaning I keep it going. And on the other side, I have the ribs on top. And it's called indirect smoking because the chimney for the grill is on the rib side. So there's smoke that has to go across the ribs in order to escape the, science, big science show. So it's called indirect smoking. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but you can put it in the internet thing there and you'll understand what I'm talking about. Now, I haven't done it in a long time. You should do ribs all the time. It was like every holiday. If it was the summer holiday, I'd be doing ribs. Or a birthday, or, you know, a lot. Any excuse, I would do it. I always get some ribs. But I've gotten lazy, and the meds have... I'm kind of like an unsharpened pencil. That's the analogy I would use for L.F. Midwood at this point in his life. I'm an unsharpened pencil. You know, maybe one of those pencils that's just enough to be able to kind of write with if you press real hard. But if you press too hard, the tip's going to break off, so we try not to press too hard, you know? But I'm definitely not sharpened. That's primarily the drugs. And, you know, this is, again, the irony of, you know, anybody who knows me from when I was, you know, my younger self, the fact that I would be complaining about drugs is really funny. Really is ironic. But anyway, so I'm going to be smoking some ribs. And I figure I'll do them tomorrow, which is Sunday. And the general consensus has been that my ribs are generally better the day after I cook them. No, the day after I smoke them. So I figure I'll smoke them, I'll let them cool off, I'll stick them in the fridge. All those wonderful, all the wonderful flavors in the rub will, they'll mingle, they'll co-mingle, and it'll be really good. Yeah. Now, I must say that this is the largest audience that I am unveiling my ribs to. So, availing them of my ribs, they shall be availed. So I'm interested in seeing how it goes. So I had to get ribs, and we had to get round beef for the burgers, and it was just like a whole thing. So I wound up going to up in Massachusetts, because there's parts of Rhode Island that you have to go through Massachusetts to get to. I know it's strange, but it's true. So most of the purchases were made in Massachusetts, so I contributed towards the Massachusetts economy. Yay! So we wound up going by IHOP because she was hungry when we first got there. So I was like, and all I had was coffee because I just wasn't hungry. I'm not really too hungry when I wake up. I don't know how many of you have actually woken up in the same room as I have. I know some of you probably have. Some of you. So I'm usually not hungry when I wake up. So I just had coffee. And then we did the shopping. And I tell you the truth, it came and I got everything I needed. I forgot apple cider vinegar. Which you used to spray the ribs so they don't catch on fire, because that would be bad. So I forgot apple cider vinegar, and we didn't. There's little rolls, there's little Portuguese rolls that you get with this chorizo and peppers when you make this dish, and they didn't have them. So my aunt said that she would get them, but I pretty much got everything, including half a case of beer. Yeah, I bought. You know what? They got what they call the sweater pack. Which is really kind of cool. Sam Adams is another thing I should be boycotting, I suppose. It's two regular Sams. It's two of the friggin' Oktoberfests. It's two what they call jack-o'-lanterns, and it's two 76ers, I guess. I think it's what's on the bottle. I don't know. It's still in the trunk of that vehicle. And I couldn't pass because I like to have a couple beers when I'm smoking. That's one of my favorite things about smoking, is having a couple of beers. So I'll be doing that. And I just thought it was interesting that Sam is marketing as a sweater pack. So I got half a case of beer included with that. I think the whole thing was like $1.50, somewhere around there. And I got a lot of, I mean, I had to buy poundages of things in order for eight people, you know. I think it was a pretty good deal. I think I spent more on the 4th of July. I'm pretty sure, but I learned because it's the same eight people, so I pretty much know what they're going to go for and what they're not. See, that's how you learn stuff. You got to keep your eyes on things. I was watching a thing on, unrelated, I suppose. I was watching the PBS documentary on eugenics, which was fascinating to me, speaking about learning a few things by observing things. If you get the chance, I forget the name of it, but it was PBS, and it was like Eugenics, American Nightmare, or something along those lines. And it gives the whole history, even prior to Margaret Sanger, who was the person who founded Planned Parenthood, or what the organization that has subsequently become Planned Parenthood. I recommend it. It's a good hard look, at a good hard sobering look at people and the things that people are capable of. And again, we talk about like science and idea of junk science. There's like a little modicum of truth there, but a kernel of truth, as they say. Oh, there'll be corn tomorrow, too. I forgot. Speaking of kernels. Yeah, I watched that. I literally watched that prior to going live. So, I mean, I guess maybe up until like 10:15 when I realized that Greg Gutman was on. And I put Gutman on. Because, you know, if I don't catch Gutman live, apparently, Gutfield. I always go Gutman. That's a Yid name. What's the difference? Iceberg, Goldberg, right? Nah. Anyway, I was watching, and I actually got into it. But I know it's a PBS thing. I saw it on Prime, but I know it's a PBS thing. So those of you who can avail yourself of PBS and or Prime, I recommend watching it. It ran about just short of 2 hours, I guess, in that range. Fascinating. Fascinating stuff, you know, because I always, you know, when I start thinking eugenics, I start thinking the Germans, I start thinking Sanger, and how we actually started using eugenics, and the Germans at a later date came over and were like, or we exported it. We exported it to Germany. That's the best way to put it. And, fascinating stuff. Other than that, well, it's been, I got nothing. No, that's not true. I actually, you know, I talked mostly last week about, Kyle Rittenhouse, who was the person who is being charged with the shootings in Wisconsin. Waukesha? I never get that right. What is it? Kasha something or another? Kasha Kanish? No? Ah, well, anyway. I kind of gave some pros and I kind of gave some cons in regards to, you know, I tried to balance out viewpoints as to what people were saying and thinking. And you know, the validity of the charges and whatnot, or the charges as they stand. So I guess it would be homicide versus the crux of the matter is homicide versus self-defense. And I watched a couple of things. I think I had mentioned watching that you should watch a couple of things on the internet. Particularly YouTube has been very useful. And as much as YouTube can be used, don't fall down. Don't fall down the conspiracy hole on YouTube. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Make sure you have a rope tied around your waist at all times. All right. And then tie the other end of the rope around the radiator. Do you even have radiators? I don't even know. You know, remember all the cast iron radiators and they put boxes over them, putting metal boxes so they wouldn't look like cast iron radiators. Something strong, like the refrigerator or anything along those lines. Yeah. So be careful. But there is stuff up there. And a few of the things were interesting in the context of there was two or maybe three videos of what occurred from different angles. I know it's starting to sound like Zapruder film, right? But anyway, there was two or three different angles, and there was pretty much one audio soundtrack. And what they did is they ran the audio soundtrack, and they tried to sync it up to what was going on with the video. And it does indeed appear that there was shots fired prior to Rittenhouse firing any shots. It does indeed appear that way. It does appear to be handgun fire. Which is interesting, because it would definitely help his argument of self-defense. We're going to have to see how that goes. Wakasha? I don't know. Sounds like a Russian girl's name. I don't want to bother. That being said, I'm not going to reiterate everything that I went through last week. It wasn't super detailed, but there are a couple of, like I said, interesting long articles. I think I read two, basically. With opposing viewpoints. I made it clear, and I still feel that way, particularly after examining the video that I just mentioned, plus some other things that are available on the internet, that I think it's a case of self-defense. And I think they'll be able to prove it, which is really, really, people are going to be really upset when they prove it. They're going to be really upset when whatever happened to start those protests or riots, actually, because it was a riot. I think the cops who shot up Jason, might have a chance. I certainly think that the police officers involved with George Floyd have a chance to beat the charges. Actually, I do. Mm-hmm. And I believe there's a new instance, it's not new, it actually occurred in March out of Rochester, where a man was apparently a black man with mental issues on PCP, was running around in the snow, light snow, and the police subdued him, and in the process of subduing him, he was spitting. So they have these things called spit hoods. Which is, they'll throw them over your head, and you can still breathe. But they've been controversial for quite a little while there. I think that police officers should be able to use such restraints if they're dealing with someone who spits or bites, especially in the day and age of viruses. Prior to the COVID, one of the main concerns, and I suppose one of the main concerns still is HIV. You don't know where these people have been. I think the police officers should have a reasonably safe work environment, or at least be able to control the environment to some degree to make it safer. The gentleman in question, he died a week later when they took him off of life support. So there were seven police officers involved with that. They've been put on restrictive leave in Rochester, New York. So we're going to wait for that case to unfold. So if there's been a little bit of, if you have been paying attention to the news, and I know my audience generally probably watches more news than I do, see if you can catch a little bit on that. With things, it's getting a little crazy in the sense of I know people talk about the idea of a race war, and I think things might be moving. I think Charlie Manson might have been onto something back with Helter Skelter there. I think things are moving in a not good direction as far as race relations go. I think a lot of it has to do with the radical left having the need to have its have the individuals or groups, demographics that it's trying to manipulate, in this case, Black Americans, believe that tons and tons and tons of Black people are murdered by cops every day. I think the statistics are still rather low. This thing out of Rochester, that actually happened in March. I think that happened during like the peak of COVID, or the peak of the the COVID before the flattening. I don't know how flat we are right now, by the way, but before the flattening. So people were going apeshits and whatnot. So I think it got lost in the shuffle there. It wasn't important enough, apparently. I don't ever remember any news other than COVID. It's like you look back and it's like COVID and dead Black people. That's all I know about. That's it. That's all I hear. As far as I know, there's nothing else that's happened in the world. Although I think for France and Spain are spiking. So I know that, but that's COVID related too. I just find it really interesting that Black Lives Matter, which again, in by my estimations and more than a few other people's, is really just a front for Marxism, or a run at Marxism again, the idea of cultural or demographic identity based Marxism. I don't think things are going to get better. If anything, I'm really surprised that there hasn't been more violence directed at the police. Now, don't get me wrong. The vast majority of these protest scenes at some point or another have turned into riots, or at the very least unlawful. I guess if you don't have a permit, it's unlawful assembly. So you could have a peaceful, unlawful assembly, I suppose. That makes sense. But the rioting it's been extensive. I think Portland is in its 100th day. Imagine that. 100 days of violence. They said Ted Wheeler, who was up for re-election, I believe, the mayor of Portland said, if you get the you get the feds out of here, everything will be fine. So the president removed the feds. I think with some minimal left behind in order to protect the federal building, which is basically what they were putting there for anyway. And the violence continues unabated. So, I think violence is a better word, because not all of those 100 nights have been classified as a riot by the police. How's that? I think that would be a safe way of stating that. Trying to be reasonably accurate, fair and balanced, all that. I think inner city, because it's always been an inner city and then what they call flyover. It's always been that way. I think there's been I know when I was liberal, I know there was a sense of, the people in the middle of the country, they really don't matter. It's all about the inner cities, which the Democratic Party has historically controlled, or at least since the 30s and Roosevelt's New Deal. I find it interesting, living in an inner city, even a small one like that. We have protests here on a semi-regular basis. There's been no violence in the sense, I don't believe that there's been any human injury or loss of human life here yet. But I know they're always singing and dancing and playing drums around the, those drum circles. I think of drum circles and I think of Randy's deal, because I know towards the last X number of years, or decades even, I guess would be safe to say, of Randy Steele's life. Randy Steele lived in Woodstock, the actual Woodstock, the town of Woodstock, and I know that there would be drum circles on the common, the common area, I guess, in the outside on the green, and I think inside at the activity center whatever the old retired hippie activity center was would be. I've never been. I never got the chance to get over there and take a eyeball around. But I had plenty of descriptions to me, which I thought were kind of funny. But yeah. So I guess these peaceful, you know, they start with the drums. They got the drum, and glockenspiels and all sorts of, indigenous instruments. I didn't even think glockenspiel was a real thing up until someone actually showing me one. I was like, get out of here. Really? But anyway, so a lot of these peaceful protests, they seem to be mostly peaceful during the day. And then once the sun goes down, does not appear to be as much. I think middle America is concerned. I think the ability/scarcity of being able to buy firearms. I can attest to the fact that scanner radios have at certain times had supply and demand issues. I can tell you that for sure. People want to know what's going on. People want to listen to their local police department and emergency services. Or whatever hasn't been encrypted. There may actually be less encryption going forward as a result of the idea of staying transparent, which is actually kind of interesting. But that's a whole other in-depth conversation. I actually have an article somewhere around about the evolution of scanner radios as a hobby. I think I'm going to maybe next week or the week after next. I'll see if I can find that. And I'm always fascinated by stuff like that. And if it's interesting to me, then you have to endure it. It's as simple as that. But people are afraid, I think more so than at any given point in time. And I think the idea of the Democrats have just now, to some degree, started to acknowledge some of this violence. And it's almost as if they're using it in the context of, if you vote for Donald Trump, this is going to continue. If you want this to stop, you have to, vote for Joe Biden. And I think that that's extortion. I really can't think of another word for it. I mean, I really honestly think that that's extortion. And I don't think it's all that subtle. You know, there's no direct hookup, although I guess... there was the idea of I think Biden's people had bailed out some of the riots. You know, I think I made an error last week. I know I was talking about I think it was blacklivesmatters.com. I think that resolves to friggin' Joe Biden's site, to the Joe Biden's official campaign site. I think I said it was Antifa. You didn't hear it, so I don't have to correct it. But I think last week I had. Gee, it just occurred to me. I could have gotten away with that one. Last week, I talked about Antifa.com. I don't even know if there is such a thing. Antifa.com resolved, which means directed, pointed to Biden's site for donations and whatnot. It's actually Black Lives Matters, I believe, is directed towards there now, which is, again, interesting. So there's this kind of subtle hookup. You know, there's this silence on the part of the left for the most part. And now there's this cacophony of noise about, well, if you want this to stop, you have to do this. And like I said, you know, I view that as extortion. You know, speaking of Antifa, I believe it was Portland where there was a murder, actually. I'm not quite sure the name of the group, Patriot something or another. Who were a right-wing patriot-based group who had had some sort of confrontation earlier in the evening with Antifa and some of those folks who were protesting, and I think. Nothing, just skirmishes, if you will. And at some point during the evening, a couple of hours afterwards, this Trump supporter was shot and killed by someone who later identified themselves as being associated with Antifa. It's interesting because I think he was on Vice News. I think the guy was actually being interviewed on Vice News, eventually what wound up happening, because this was earlier in the week, that might even have been last Sunday. Eventually what wound up happening is the police figured out who it was, and in the process of attempting to apprehend this individual, he was shot and killed. It's interesting. There's footage available of some of the Black Lives Matter activists trying to get their troops gassed up in the field by saying it's, you know, one dead patriot or fascist, I guess, from their viewpoint. And this man's murder was applauded, meaning the original murder victim. His life, his being lost, was applauded, which is deplorable. Deplorable. I don't know. Like I said, I never really. I guess it's a case of having lived too long. I never really thought I'd see things like this. I kind of worst case scenario stuff, you know. Yeah, maybe. But now the reality, the actual stark reality of it, is disturbing beyond what I thought it would be. You know, you get to a point, you become jaded, you know, you're like, And, now it's between COVID, and the, as I said, the racial violence, yeah, life has changed. And I don't know if it's a case where you can put the genie back in the bottle. I know, you know, which is really ironic to me because, again, I don't understand how Afro-Americans who are genuinely concerned about the value of other Afro-Americans' lives aren't focused on places like Chicago, where the black-on-black violence leading to homicides is astronomically high. Baltimore, I think even Washington's starting to climb again, you know, meaning D.C. And I don't understand how you can exclude that in your attempts to claim that Black Lives Matter. You know, if you confront Black Lives Matter people on those issues, they say that's not on their platform. That, well, how could that not be on your platform? You know, the only thing that is apparently on their platform is black people killed by police. That's it. That's the only thing on their platform. And that's a little narrow in scope. In my mind, again, as we talk about the idea of the statistically speaking, when you compare the number of black people, people of color, who die in police custody versus the number of white people who die in police custody, you know, we talk about that 13%, you know, where the idea becomes, it's I love saying this because it's just, it never changes year after year after year. It never changes. It's been like rock solid. 13% of the population is responsible for 50% of violent crime, rape, murder, all that stuff, armed robbery. And that 13% of the population is Afro-Americans, as if, maybe tying this into eugenics to a certain degree, as if they are genetically predisposed towards violence. Interesting. I always thought that that was kind of interesting. But there's none of that. You can't even allude to that fact. You just, it's as if, and when you look, and this is really ironic, when you look at the actual people, you know, the actual people of persons, persons of color, who the police, who make contact with the police and wind up dying as a result of it, they generally already have a criminal record. So it's like, it was just like it was a mathematical certainty that at some point in time they were going to run across the police again. Even this dude who got shot up in Wisconsin, there was a warrant out. He's accused of having raped a woman, stolen her SUV, and used her ATM card twice. No less, meaning the ATM machine. I think, anyway, that's what I saw. you know, if Black America was interested in Black America, don't you think that they would do things along the lines of, you know, even say what you will, even about the Black Panthers. You know, the Black Panthers had all sorts of outreach and community-based centers and all sorts of stuff to help out Black people in the community because that's what they were about. As of yet, nobody can figure out where this Black Lives Matter money goes other than to the coffers of the far-left political machine. You know, not one school built, not one after-school program, not one basketball hoop put up. Yes, I know that was racist. But no. Il Zippo. So, you know, how long is this charade going to continue? It becomes the question. I mean, how far can they go with it? They already shut down sports for one night, which I thought was interesting, and then everybody realized they were losing money, and they went back to playing. I haven't watched any NBA playoffs this year. It's been too jarring and confusing for me, but I will be watching the Knicks next season. I made that clear. In the interest of full disclosure, I bleed orange and blue. Tough. For those of you disappointed in me, the line forms on the right. But yeah, it's I'm failing to comprehend how far this is actually how far can it go? How far can it go? And when I say it, I mean the idea of the deception that Black Lives Matter and the Marxism that it ultimately represents. How far can that go? You know, I've been saying now for a while, it's gonna blow over, it's gonna go away. I guess a little bit like the president with the COVID there for a little while. It's gonna go away on its own. He did actually say that at some point, by the way, unfortunately. I wonder how far it can go. Is it literally however far it does go, what is it going to change if the vast majority of crime is still committed by 13% of the population? What does it do to prevent Negroes from committing crimes? Now, there's a certain argument out there that says that if you do certain other things, then Negroes won't be committing crimes, or they would be less inclined to commit crimes, which, again, I find to be extortion, because mostly you and I and most people we know have to be good citizens, and we don't get much for it. We get to participate in the great social experiment known as American society. That's what we get. That's what we get. Just making that point. So we give them stuff and they'll stop. That just doesn't seem right to me. It just honestly, in my heart of hearts, it's like the idea becomes, it's like what we were doing in Iraq and in Afghanistan, where we were just paying people not to kill Americans, you know, and this is well documented. Obviously, we know about that X amount of money that got sent over to Iran. But beyond that, just Afghanistan, we're building like water thingies and wells and all sorts of whatever they needed to increase their quality of life for their village, sending them boxes of red hair dye for their beards and whatever the deal may be. And we know much money was spent in Iran. Pallets and pallets and pallets of money was spent, in Iraq to quell the situation there and buy off, the people that we should have we should have made some sort of agreement with to begin with. And when I say to begin with, I mean in the beginning, before they were disenfranchised and started killing Americans. So the question becomes is what do we really change? And, you know, and I've made the point time after time about Johnson's Great Society and all the money that was dumped into giving the blacks more opportunity to, quote-unquote, level those playing fields. We know that millions and millions, possibly billions, I don't even know. I can't even count that high. I run out of toes. We know what? What do we know? We know it accomplished nothing. We know it accomplished nothing. Because the only way to have a society of good citizens is either to scare them into it by government, you know, by force, some level of force, or some sense of moral view and development on their part, if you will, a spiritual awakening, which does happen, actually. But those are the only two ways. We can't count on Afro-Americans. We can't count on Afro-Americans to do the right thing by their own people. We can't. We're seeing it. I just said it a minute ago. The only people that Black Lives Matter are interested in, the only Black lives they're interested in, are the ones lost to police, which is a minuscule amount. But people buy into it. Who's out there protesting for all those people who died in Chicago last week? Or was shot and wound up almost dead, and there's always a fatality number. I don't exactly know what the numbers are. You can head over to, I think it's heyjackass.com. That's heyjackass.com, and that site keeps track, somewhat a humorous way, keeps track of how many people were murdered in Chicago in any given week. And holiday weekends are always big, you know, because there'll be cookouts and whatnot, so I'm sure there'll be a couple of few drive-bys. And in these drive-bys, you have children being killed. Doesn't matter to these people. Doesn't matter. Time after time, they just don't care. It's not part of their platform. It's not their problem. Those Black lives are not Black Lives Matter's problem. But they really are. It's what it comes down to. I think to a certain degree, sympathy and support that an organization like Black Lives Matter gets is, you know, from the Zoomers and I guess younger millennials. It gives them a chance to be part of something that, you know, is momentous, you know, like a lot of the social change that occurred in the 60s. It gives them their shot, you know, just like those guys who are, you know, their granddaddy got to go to war, and they got to go to war, so they want to, they want their chance. They want something. So I think that's what they're grabbing onto, and that's where a lot of the sympathy, because everything that I've said about Black Lives Matter is true. There's not been one thing that you could even choose to interpret as made up, not in the least bit. I made a point just for the purposes of this particular segment of the program to be as flatline on what they claim their platform is. How long does that last with people of intelligence? That becomes, that's what it comes down to. That's what it comes down to. And as far as rage goes, man, there's always going to be something to rage about. There's always going to be like, I think like the home of rage is like Berkeley, you know, Berkeley and Oakland is always crazy. Those people in Oakland are always waiting for something to go down. I don't know what it is, so they can break out their Birkenstocks and start breaking windows. I believe there was actually some damage. Speaking of breaking windows, I believe Friday there was some damage overnight in New York City. Some windows broken and Black Lives Matter graffiti painted, about $100,000 worth of damage, which I guess doesn't seem like a whole lot in light of all the damage that occurred in places like, again, Portland, Seattle, you know, Washington. It just, you know, when will it's not even, I'm not even going to talk about common sense, because you can manipulate that, but you can't manipulate things like, you know, gravity. Do you understand? There are certain laws. There are certain laws of physics. When are people, you know, going to stop falling for it? I mean, it's an emotional issue. You know, you have emotional heartstrings. You're pulling on people's heartstrings. You know, this idea of systemic racism in this country. I consider myself to be somewhat of a racist. And the reason I'm a racist is because, once again, 13% of the population is responsible for 50% of the crime. So I'm keeping my eye on that 13% of the population. If I'm in the presence of a Black person and they seem to be a cool person and there doesn't appear to be any crime committed while I'm in the presence of that person, then they're just as good as anybody else as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, it's like, I guess, what am I trying to say? I guess it's like, I kind of, it's like on a one per one real life basis. But am I weary of the idea of Afro-Americans? Yes. I'm weary of the idea of Jews too. So what's that tell you? What's that tell you? I think preconceived notions go a long way. That's what I think. And I think that when people of reasonable intelligence, and I consider myself to be reasonably intelligent, are still willing to give everyone an opportunity to be a fellow good citizen, I think that the idea of systemic racism is ridiculous. I do understand the idea of profiling, because I guess that's what I'm doing. I guess I'm profiling, you know. I know this was a big deal with the and many court cases with law enforcement, but law enforcement profiles as well too. They have to, you know. The idea of when you have to know what you're dealing with is what it comes down to. You know, like I said, that 13%, and we know it's less. What's the argument? Certainly say it's 6.5 to 5% of the population. 18 to 35 or 18 to 50, whatever it is. That's the vast amount of crime as far as Afro-Americans go. So if I'm a police officer and I get a call and there's an Afro-American person involved, I am weary, because they are generally more inclined to use violence against police officers as well as fellow citizens. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. And I think a lot of what goes on with police is a lot of it's in the moment. A lot of it is, you know, they're just as freaked out as the alleged black people who are innocently being persecuted. So adrenaline levels go up. Anything can happen, because in the heat, as they say, the heat of the moment, anything can happen, and often does. I guess we're going to have to see how this plays out. I think it's an unrealistic expectation for the extortion to be laid upon us, whether it be the Democrats saying, again, if you don't vote for Biden, this is going to continue, or whether it be a platform that is unrealistic in its scope, or the idea of whether we're going to totally eradicate racism. All the races have to behave themselves. We'll all be treated the same when everybody behaves themselves. That's it. Everyone is required to be a good citizen. Everyone. And then we'll all be the same. And we'll all be viewed equally. But until that time happens, I suggest you profile. That's what I do. Anyway, I'm going to get out of here. I did have some news, but I just wanted to rehash. You know, I was feeling a little tired. And yeah, you know what? I think I go into radio voice. I start doing stuff like that. See, and that's why my throat hurts. So I think I have to be a little bit more natural. In regards to my voice. I have to work on that. You know, I haven't been spending much time in front of the mirror practicing. I definitely need to start doing that again. Anyway, thank you for imbibing. Let me hit my. You know how much sense I made tonight. Head over to lfmidwood.com. It's Midwood Files. You'll see previous archives on previous shows. Links to John Lightning site. That's 11LRNI up top. Gets you over to John Lightning site, where there's John Lightning archives and Big Steve Cole archives and Dave the Boogeyman archives. You head over to far right. That's our good friend Brad Reed at Grits Radio. Please avail yourselves of his audio server. It's lots of fun stuff running on there on a regular basis. My social media, still Take the Red Pill, is clearly marked. And my favorites, which I don't know if they need an update or not. I'm going to go through there and find one or two things that I think Fulcrum can go. I'm looking at that now, but I'm not sure. Anyway, as I said, thanks for imbibing. Have a great holiday. What passes for a holiday? I don't know when you're going to be listening to this. You may be putting it off to Monday or possibly Tuesday. Like I said, the longest hour of internet radio you'll hear this week. I amuse myself. Anyway, thanks for tuning in, and I'll catch you next week. Bye.
You've been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening.